Station, brought to you by Information and Communications University, ICU, delivering an ICT-enabled education with excellence.
The Information and Communications University is driving the thrill for the nation in research and development. Enroll now for full-time and distance programs in the School of Engineering, Humanities, Business and Education. To apply, visit our website at www.icuzambia.net or call us on +260-211-221-662 or 0966-342-359. Sponsorship is available. Enroll now.
To the rest of the world, this is the One Love Radio News.
A lovely good afternoon and thank you so much for joining us for the news on One Love Radio. To present it, my name is Mumba Tailash. The headlines. Seven suspected criminals apprehended in connection with the suspected human smuggling syndicate. CAG urges government to release Sino Metal Pollution Report. In international headlines, two Ghanaian ministers die in helicopter crash. And in sports, Chipolopolo kick off journey. And now the news in detail. The Center for Environment Justice, CEJ, has called on the government to urgently release the Sino Metal Pollution Report after the U.S. Embassy's withdrawal of its residents from the Copper Belt due to high contamination. CEJ Executive Director Maggie Mapalomwape has stressed the importance of transparency to help the public take informed precautions for health protection. She points out that around 500 victims in Kalusela and Luale have received 14 to 16 million kwacha in compensation, amounting to 26,000 to 30,000 per person. She says CEJ considers the payout as inadequate and questions why other affected communities along the Kafue River like Mukombo, Kakonde, Kapata, Chifumpa and Kamwesha were excluded.
As the Center for Environment Justice, we stand at a very critical moment. The recent contamination alert from the U.S. Embassy has raised serious alarm, and the Zambian government must respond to it. Transparency is not a luxury, it is a necessity. Releasing the Sino Metal Pollution Report is essential to safeguard public health. Also note that over 500 victims have so far received compensation, but too many communities such as Mukombo, Kankonde, Kapata and others remain excluded despite suffering crop loss and environmental damage. This raises serious questions about fairness.
Meanwhile, the Ministry of Information and Media says the government has normalized the situation in the affected areas where the Sino Metal contaminations occurred. Speaking during a press briefing at the Disaster Management and Mitigation Unit offices, Minister of Information and Media Cornelius Mutwa says there is no need to alarm the country and the international community as preliminary investigations have revealed that the pH levels in the affected areas have normalized. Mr. Mwetwa says over 200 samples were collected and have been tested and have shown that the situation has normalized, contrary to what other organizations and institutions are saying. The Zambia NGO WASH Forum, a consortium of 41 NGOs championing WASH, has called on the government to prevent donor withdrawal from the WASH sector by ensuring the financial sustainability of commercial water utilities through water tariff reforms. Forum coordinator Wubala Muyovwe-Mumba expressed serious concern over the sector's financing, noting that a study commissioned last year revealed an alarming and difficult to understand financial situation, especially regarding commercial activities and funding flows intended to advance the sector. Mrs. Mumba stressed that progress depends on collaborative efforts, particularly as funding from international partners on whom the sector heavily relies is at risk.
Financing, I think I beg the members of parliament, you really need to read the executive our sustainable services are under threat. Last year we commissioned a study on the performance of under the age NDP was terrible, and we couldn't understand why. And the commercial utilities are the heart. They are the vehicle on which, this is the vehicle that is supposed to get us to 2030, and it is struggling. And now it is plain. And I can possibly guess that some of the numbers that we see, they are numbers that are done by NGOs.
Meanwhile, Water Development and Sanitation Permanent Secretary Romas Kamanga highlighted WASH as a fundamental pillar of sustainable development, public health, economic sustainability and social well-being in the country.
Effective service delivery requires strong legislative support, community engagement and multi-sector partnerships. Over the coming days, you will review progress on the National WASH Initiative, identify challenges and opportunities, and discuss the vital water supply and sanitation deal. This deal holds a tremendous potential to enhance government accountability and citizen participation in WASH service delivery.
And Parliamentary Caucus on Water, Sanitation and Hygiene, WASH Chairperson Mutinta Twambo highlighted the role of advocates in defending people's rights and underscored the importance of collective commitment to accountability as well as fostering public trust in WASH services.
As we look at the view that will be converging, can we apply the generous? And I think these are some of the issues that we don't normally pay attention to. Furthermore, as legislators, we have the authority to mobilize resources and prioritize funding allocations for WASH initiatives that advance sustainable development and climate resilience. I encourage all members here to consider innovative ways to use the parliamentary roles to enhance long-term investment in these vital services.
The Department of Immigration has apprehended 7 suspects, seized 372 passports and is actively pursuing at least one more individual in connection with a suspected human smuggling syndicate operating under the appearance of travel facilitation. Immigration Public Relations Officer Namati H. Nshinka says the operation is believed to involve the production and use of fraudulent identity and travel documents to secure visas as well as facilitate the illegal movement of individuals. Mr. Nshinka has unveiled that the investigations were triggered by a formal report regarding some suspicious documents submitted to one foreign embassy in Lusaka by a 40-year-old Burundian refugee, Jean-Claude Siwomana, on behalf of a Zambian national.
Further, a Ghanaian passport and a Zambian police report were found in his BMW X Series vehicle registration number BAK9508, deepening the officer's suspicions. Intensified investigations led the officers to the residence of Evariste Niyokwizera, 41, a Burundian refugee residing in Kasupe area. Upon conducting a search of his Mercedes-Benz vehicle registration number BAJ6966, officers made a shocking discovery: an extensive collection of travel documents suspected to have been obtained or intended for use in fraudulent immigration activities. Recovered from his vehicle were 212 Burundian passports, 44 Zambian passports and 20 Zambian refugee passports. Other passports found included 8 Rwandan, 7 Nigerian, 2 Cameroonian, 1 Bangladeshi and 1 Zimbabwean passport.
The Lusaka City Council LCC Public Relations Manager Chola Mwamba has directed all shop owners within the Central Business District CBD and across the city to paint their shops to enhance the beauty appeal of the urban environment. In a statement, Ms. Mwamba advised all shop owners and traders to uphold cleanliness around their premises to help prevent potential disease outbreaks. Ms. Mwamba says in accordance with the Public Health Act, CAP 295 of the laws of Zambia, business owners are legally required to maintain clean surroundings, as failure to do so may result in the revocation of businesses and health permits by the council, leading to the closure of non-compliant establishments.